When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now, he is Ryan Horvath of BetMGM Tonight. You can hear him weeknights on the BetQL radio network. Horvath, it's old folks week here at the Toy Drive. We had Joe Zanzola on. Radio Joe stopped out and said hi. Rami Makhlouf was on here in the last segment. 911 Jeff Rieger is on in the next segment from the Ticket to Detroit to talk about the Lions. Everybody that used to be on the Fan all coming back and joining me today. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. I noticed one name not on that list, Mr. Big Time. Where's Bart Winkler? Mr. National, he hasn't made a step out?
Yeah, no, he's childcare stuff and so forth, so he's not able to come during my time shift.
Always an excuse. No, I'm kidding. No, that's awesome, man. shout out to Radio Joe. I see he's killing it right now. I still follow him on Twitter and on the Facebook.
Selling a bunch of cars.
Looking good, too. Joe looks like he's hitting the gym. He's probably just playing a tremendous amount of golf.
He is.
Now that he's got a real job and he's able to actually, you know, not just sit around watching games all day like the rest of us. But, no, that's awesome, man. It's always, in my opinion, the best tradition and best time of the year. I love this time of the year. And it's great because, you know, some people out there struggling and need a little bit of help. Everybody should be able to enjoy Christmas.
Absolutely right. All right, Ryan Horvath, let's talk about Packers and Lions tonight. Obviously, you're a big Packers fan as well, but you also understand how to gamble and make yourself a bunch of money too. So what are the plays for tonight that you like?
Yeah, so tonight's one of those nights where I'm going to be a fan because this is a huge game, obviously. I think the Lions ultimately win the NFC North. They have a two-game lead in the division. Packers actually don't even have the second-best odds. What I was just asking myself, I like Green Bay tonight, obviously. I bet them +3.5. I got the lucky New Orleans sweatshirt from the Super Bowl, the one that Favre won us. I got that on tonight where we beat the Patriots that my grandmother stood in line to get. I got the Matt LaFleur fleece, the coaching fleece on. I got all the lucky gear going tonight, none of the bad luck stuff. So hopefully, you know, I help out a little bit here and we get the dub. But I was looking, the Packers are 17-1 to win the division, meaning, you know, a dollar wins you $17, $100 wins you $1,700. And I was thinking, if I do like them to pull off the upset tonight, do I just take a shot with them to win the division? Because next week, man, the Lions have to turn around and play the Buffalo Bills. Another tough opponent, obviously, and this is why I like Green Bay tonight, not just me being a homer. The Lions, if you're going to get them, and there's also a good chance that the Lions just win this game by 10, right, because they're the best team in football, but if you're going to get them, I think now is the time to get them. It's a short week, but it's not really a short week. Both teams had some rest here and extra time to prep for them, and they just saw each other also a week ago. But the Lions are beat up on the defensive side of the ball. And Josh Jacobs is going to need 18 to 20 touches in this game. And I know he's dealing with an injury right now, but I expect him to get shot up with the good stuff and be just fine. But he looked really good against the Lions, and the Lions were much healthier. So I love his rushing and receiving yards tonight. I think it has to be a huge Josh Jacobs game. And then it comes down to who could torch the Lions in the slot. The Lions this season, their pass defense has actually really surprised me. They're really good at limiting the stuff outside, you know, taking away the outside receivers, like the Mike Evanses of the world. But they struggle still against these slot guys. So it's either going to be a big night for Jaden Reed, but everybody's playing the Jaden Reed props, and I'm playing the Christian Watson narrative bounce back game. I think it's going to be Watson tonight. So I took his receiving yards, 49 and a half. I took him to score a touchdown plus 260. I took him to score the first touchdown for $5, 17 to 1. I'm hoping it's a big Watson night. Watch, it'll be a Jaden Reed night, but it's got to be one of those two guys, right? Everybody, the Dobbs injury, I think it's a bigger deal than we're talking about, or a lot of people are talking about, right? Like the offense, remember when Dobbs was having his little pouting fest and he missed? Like, the offense is much better with him on the field. You need the possession receiver, the underneath guy. That scares me. And then the other matchup that scares me, even though I do like Green Bay tonight because of the injuries for Detroit, is them on the offensive side of the ball. Best offensive line in football. A couple weeks ago when we saw this game, we only pressured Jared Goff on 6 dropbacks. That can't be the case, man. If Jared Goff has a clean pocket, he's a top-5 quarterback. He's the best quarterback in the league sometimes, right? But if you get pressure on him, that's where he makes mistakes. That's where you see those 4 interception games. And that's what Green Bay needs tonight. They need to force a couple takeaways. The Jair injury for this game obviously sucks. Like, is he ever going to be right? And they need to get a pass rush. This is a game where Rashawn Gary has to earn his money, or Van Ness has to earn his draft pick. You know, because this is a big one right here. You still have an outside shot to win the division. Plus, you just need to stack wins right now. The NFC is the better conference. I think we're figuring that out. I mean, the AFC, I think there's like 2 or 3 teams you can make the case for. And I'm starting to think Baltimore's fugazi. So I think it's the Bills and the Chiefs, man. Maybe the Chargers, if you like a sleeper team. But I like Green Bay tonight. Hopefully they can stop the run. That's the matchup that really scares me. I could see it being a huge Jahmyr Gibbs game. I mean, Montgomery's always going to pound you for 70, 80 yards and a couple touchdowns. But Gibbs is the guy that really scares me. Because like we talk about every week with this team, and like we've been talking about really since 2003, they can't stop the run. And, you know, Gibbs has that perfect skill set, kind of that Saquon skill set, where he can catch balls out of the backfield. He's a really good route runner, and he's just explosive as hell. Now, I think he needs more touches. I know that Dan Campbell, and they love Montgomery. They love him so much they just gave him a 2-year extension in the middle of the season for $16 million or whatever it was. But I think Gibbs needs more touches. I think he's the better back. I think he's one of the best players in the league.
I think Dontavian Wicks would be real nice if he looked like Dontavian Wicks in the second half of last year. Like, you're talking about Watson, you're talking about Reed. Everybody's eye off the ball on Dontavian Wicks because he just hasn't been a factor in a while. You saw last year he could be a big game guy, a big play guy in certain matchups, and I would have to think this Lions secondary isn't going to be paying that much attention to Dontavian Wicks. Now, again, I can't catch the ball for him, but if he catches a few passes and gets his confidence level up without dropping 2 or 4, that could end up being a difference maker type of player as well. Because I'm with you. I think they're keying on Watson. They're keying on Kraft to a certain degree, and they're paying attention to Jaden Reed. I don't think anybody's going to be paying attention to anybody else catching the football.
No, and good point on Kraft, too. They're also good at limiting the stuff from the tight end. So I took the under on his receiving yards, 38.5. I think it's down to 34.5. I don't expect a really big game from him. He could score a touchdown, but I don't think he's going to have many yards. And he obviously wants to block, man, because he was talking some trash about Kirby Joseph, which I love to hear, saying he keeps taking out his tight end brothers, so he wants to get his hands on them tonight. That's what I'm talking about, though, man. Like, this is a real rivalry now because these teams are good. The Bears are still laughable. They're a joke. I mean, I know that they played us close last time, but they're a year away. They need a coach. The Vikings are good, but I do think that they're going to unravel at some point. I think they're getting by right now because Kevin O'Connell is a genius and Brian Flores is a really good defensive mind. But ultimately, like, we're the more talented team. We could beat Minnesota. We got to figure out if we could beat Detroit. And another thing that makes me feel good, and I agree about Wicks, and that's also the scary thing about playing props, or just playing the Green Bay Packers. And we saw that in that second matchup last year, right? Where the Packers just cooked Detroit. And that was really where Jordan Love became second half Jordan Love. You know, and that's what he's doing right now. Mina Kimes is awesome. I don't want to steal her thunder. She had it. The last 3 weeks, I believe he's number 1 in dropback per EPA. Yep. Pretty much all these different nerd stats.
We played it on the air in the 3 o'clock hour. We played that clip. Yep.
Yeah. And he's not turning the football over. That's what this game comes down to. If Jordan Love throws 2 picks, 3 picks, Packers are screwed, right? Lions, you can't give the Lions extra possessions because it's already hard enough to get stops. If you give them an extra 2 to 3 possessions, you're in big trouble. That's what I'm saying. Tonight, I hope Josh Jacobs is good enough to go because it has to be like a 20-25 carry game. not to be cliche, but you have to run the ball and keep their offense, you know, on the sideline. That's what scares me a little bit about Wicks, Watson, all these guys. It might just be a huge, huge workload of Josh Jacobs. I mean, I got to admit, man, I was pissed off when they didn't bring back Aaron Jones, right? And I didn't understand the move, but now we do understand the move. It's just a different running style. And I was worried. I was like, why are they doing this? Because Matt LaFleur never sticks to the run. But now Aaron Rodgers is gone, right? And we're starting to figure out that Rodgers might be crazy. I think a lot
Thank
of people
you.
Already knew that. And then
Thank
we're
you.
Also yep. starting to Yeah, and we're saying, and I was also worried about Jacobs only averaging 3.4 yards per carry, but like look at the Raiders this year, even in run blocking, that offensive line is so bad. They make the Jets look good some weeks. So Jacobs is awesome, and Matt LaFleur is finally running the rock. I mean, I think the Packers are like number three right now in rushing attempts. So I was wrong, and Matt LaFleur proved me wrong. And he does this all the time, though. He's awesome. He's a top three coach in the league. I would rather have him than Kyle Shanahan right now. As crazy as
that's funny that you bring that's funny that you bring that up. We talked about yesterday, Horvat, about Coach of the Year odds, and we were using BetMGM, and they had Dan Campbell as one, which I think is lunacy. The guy was projected; his team was projected to be a Super Bowl team at the beginning of the year. Why in the world would I give him Coach of the Year? The second guy on that list, odds-wise, was Mike Tomlin. Now, that one makes a lot of sense. That one, I think that should be the runaway guy. But Sean Payton in Denver, what he's been able to do this year, I think has been outstanding as well. Harbaugh with the Chargers gets rid of his whole wide receiving core, takes Baltimore's running backs from them, tells Justin Herbert, who's paying all this money to, we don't really want you to throw the ball all that much this year. We're going to win another way. So I think Harbaugh deserves a lot of credit for what he's done with the Chargers, but there is no way Dan Campbell should be favored to win Coach of the Year.
I just had this, I used this as a segment the other night. I completely agree. I mean, if anything, I would look at maybe like Ben Johnson as Coordinator of the Year. And I'm not knocking Dan Campbell. He's a great motivator, a great coach. If he was going to win Coach of the Year, that was last year. Or even, hell, that was 2 years ago, even though they didn't make the playoffs and they were 8-8, right?
Yep.
Now this team, they should win, like you said, 12, 13 games. How about Kevin O'Connell? Nobody, I mean, the Vikings were projected to win 6 games this season. Everybody wrote off Sam Darnold. Nobody thought Aaron Jones could still play, you know, 10, 11 games. And I know he's had some fumble issues, but he's been damn good himself this season as well. And they're there. And then I agree with you on Sean Payton. And I'm a notorious Sean Payton hater, but he has fooled the whole world right now, Sparky, into believing that Bo Nix is a good quarterback. I really believe that if Bo Nix was anywhere else, he would probably be the worst quarterback in the league. If you watch these games, Sean Payton is doing everything, like anything that Bo Nix is good at, that's what he's utilizing. Pre-snap motion, play action, they're using his legs more. That's what's changed, and that's what LaFleur does too. That's why I don't understand how he's never won this award. The handicap usually was, or the handcuff was, that he had Aaron Rodgers. Now Rodgers is gone. I thought he should have won it last year, to be honest with you. But, I mean, Jordan Love goes out for 2 games. They win games with Malik Willis. None of us that watched Malik Willis, even in college, thought that he could play the position. And he looked awesome. There were people on social media that were calling for Malik Willis. My mother, who's a Jordan Love lover and loves this team, there were a couple weeks where she was like, put in Malik. And I was like, Mom, that's crazy. He's still an XFL
crazy.
Quarterback. Like, Matt LaFleur's just that good. So
yep.
I'm with you. I think LaFleur, Kevin O'Connell, and, hate to say it, Sean Payton should be getting the look. And always Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin could win it every year, though.
He's in the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, he's already in the Hall of Fame. Man's never had a losing season. I mean, they can put him in the Hall of Fame tomorrow and nobody would complain.
No. You know what's crazy, though? A lot of people upstairs, my bosses, a lot of people like the Steelers here. They're big Steelers fans. They hate Mike Tomlin. They call for him to get fired every year. Now they're buying in a little bit. But, like the last couple of years, they wanted him gone. Just because every year they win 8-9 games, 10 games, and then they usually get bounced before the divisional round. But I don't understand it, man. That's the problem, though, right? Social media and these debate shows and just, like, everybody and the Patriots and the NBA, like, everybody, it's all about rings. It's so hard to win championships. I was talking about this last night on the show. We do this with every college coach. You could be a really good college coach and win 10, 11 games and not be able to, quote-unquote, win the big one. Right now in college football, who's actually, Sparky, won the big one? You could say the same in the NFL. Look at all these NFL head coaches. Oh, Shanahan's got to be fired because he hasn't won the Super Bowl yet. Okay, he gets beat every year by Andy Reid. You know, Bill Belichick's gone now. Other than Bill Belichick, who has rings? Andy Reid. And then, like, McVay has one, right? College football, Nick Saban's gone now. He wins Dabo. Every year, or Kirby Smart wins every year. Or Dabo had a couple, but now he'll never win again because he won't embrace the transfer portal.
Correct.
So everybody's like, oh, you know, Franklin can't win the big game. And I'm not, like, sticking up for Franklin or Ryan Day. But, I mean, if your team wins 10, 11 games and they're in the dance every year, I don't understand calling for the heads of these coaches. I mean, hey, do you think the Milwaukee Bucks right now regret firing Mike Budenholzer?
No. No, well, because I think
Doc Rivers is a blubbering idiot.
No. I don't agree with that either. No, I don't agree with Doc Rivers being a blubbering idiot. The man wins in the regular season every year. You know, when you talk about postseason success, we can have a different conversation. But regular season, his teams always make the playoffs. His teams are always contending for home court advantage for the most part. And he knows what he's doing. And that's why, again, when they started off slowly and it wasn't going well, I just kept saying, like, this is going to be fine. They'll figure it out and they'll be fine. And guess what happened? Gary Trent started playing like Gary Trent again, and some guys started coming into their own. And now they get Chris Middleton back tomorrow night against the Celtics. Now, again, we had Peter Fagan out here at the Toy Drive earlier, and he said, yeah, he's going to be on a minutes limit of some sort, whether it be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. Back-to-backs probably aren't going to be a thing either going forward. But if you have Middleton, Lillard, and Giannis, with Brook Lopez, you're going to have a chance to win a ring. I don't care who the damn coach is at the end of the year. So we'll see what happens. All I'm saying is, from your college football perspective, I mean, just look at Wisconsin. Yeah. Luke Fickle took Cincinnati to a playoff, and Luke Fickle was the hottest commodity out there. Turned down Notre Dame, turned down all these different schools, takes the Wisconsin job, and now Badger fans here have had their fill of Luke Fickle and want to move on from Luke Fickle after 2 years. Obviously, they're not going to, but that's the fan base that gets upset, just like you're talking about the Steelers and Tomlin. The fan base are the people that get impatient quickly.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I know I just jumped around all over the place, but it's just like the point, like everybody always needs to be fired. Like we forget it's just hard to win championships, right? But with Fickle, I will say this, man, I think he's on the hot seat, even though it's only year three. That team needs to at least win 8-9 games. Like I said, a couple weeks.
They don't have a quarterback. How? They don't have a quarterback. So we're going to go on the transfer portal and do this all over again for the third straight year.
I do think if you get the right coordinator and it comes down to the coordinator hire, I don't even want to say what I'm about to say. If they were able to get Connor Wigman, I mean, the problem is another former five-star that we've just seen, like, wet the bed in these big moments that really struggles under pressure. But I do think that he has some talent if he was with the right coordinator. I don't think that A&M was the right fit. But if you had to go into the portal, I mean, that's a name that I would want right now, probably Connor Wigman. I want to go back to – that's the one thing that I agree with on Dabo. Now, you got to go into the portal, man. But develop your quarterback. Develop your own guy. Go out and recruit your own quarterback. I want to see a little bit more than that, more of that, than going out and getting like 27-year-old Tyler Van Dyke. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Some of these guys are just who did I? Alan Bowman from Oklahoma State. He's not even good, and he just got granted his eighth season of college football. Like nobody wants that or needs to see that. And somebody will recruit him. Look at Florida State this year. DJU. Have we not seen a big enough sample size of DJU to know that he's never going to be good enough to win you 10 games? So I would rather go with an 18, 19-year-old kid and develop him myself than try to fix bad habits of a quarterback like DJU or Tyler Van Dyke. And I know I like the Van Dyke pickup, but his issue has never been talent. He can't stay healthy.
That's correct. He has Ryan Horvath, BetMGM tonight. Catch him weeknights as part of the BetQL Radio Network. Ryan, follow him on Twitter at Ryan Horvath. It'll be fun to watch Ryan Horvath tweet during this Packers game while he's doing a radio show, which he absolutely hates when they play during his radio show. But it'll be fun tonight to follow along with Ryan Horvath. Listen to him, stream him on the Audacy app as well, AUDACY. Ryan, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. Hey, got to sneak one in. Penn State +3.5. James Franklin finally might win a big game. That pass rush is going to get after Dillon Gabriel, who's a top 10 quarterback when kept clean, outside the top 80 when he's under pressure. Also, here's a question. What big game has Dan Lanning won as a head coach? 0-2 last year against Washington. All he had to do was win one of those, and he was in the playoff. I leave you with that. Penn State might shock the world on Saturday.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, neither one of them really are anything to write home about. I like Lanning more than I like Franklin, but yeah, we'll see what happens. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thanks, man.